How will you decide which candidates deserve your vote on November the 5th? Not just for president, but for all the other races down the ballot that are more important than you might think and impact your family more directly. TV ads and candidate rhetoric are meant to sway your emotions. iVoter Guide gives you the facts so you can think for yourself. iVoter Guide shows you what candidates have done and how they are likely to vote if elected. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord Yahweh our God whenever we call on Him? Isn't it wonderful to know that when you call upon the Lord, call to me, Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. We have a God who has invited us to come and to pray and to seek His face and to call upon Him. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Confidence means boldness to speak. And we can, God says, come into my throne room. And we come into His throne room as His own dear children. And we can come not just before the throne, but we can come into His lap. Think about, I think about when my kids were little or my grandkids now. They can come into my office at any time and they can just get up in my lap if they need to ask me for something and want to see me. And that's the way God is with us. And we can call upon His name and we can bring our needs to Him and we can intercede for others. That's part of the Christian life is to, and part of our prayer life needs to be intercession. Now, when I've been convicted about this as the rhetoric and the intensity keeps increasing as we get closer and closer to November 5th. And I mentioned this earlier this week on the broadcast about President Trump and the second assassination attempt and how, the media is just kind of not picking up on this. Mainstream media, it's just kind of old hat. I loved what Chris Cuomo had to say about it. And I don't agree with him on very many things, but I thought this was wonderful. And he came on the air and he said, hey, this is a big deal and we need to take it as a big deal. Here's his clip.
I don't get it. That's why I reached out to Trump. I wanted to just say, listen, I'm really sorry that this is going on and it's being dealt with this way. Not because I'm in favor of his politics or what he says. I criticize him all the time. That's my job, and he deserves it. But he doesn't deserve this. A guy pointing an AK-47 at him while he's playing golf? And we take solace in the fact that the guy didn't get any rounds off. If I had been through what that guy's been through in the last 2 months, you would not know where I am. You would never see me on TV again. No way I would do that. I don't know how he does it. He's got kids, they're adults, but he's got grandkids. He's got a wife. People giving crap to Melania Trump, worrying about whether or not there was a plot around his husband. How could she not? People mock her.
That was Chris Cuomo talking about what Trump goes through on a regular basis. You know, Trump, I was talking to an FBI agent yesterday, a wonderful guy in my church, and we were talking about the fact that Trump has so many people that hate him. He's got a lot of people that love him, but he is such a lightning rod person. And you know, to experience the things that he experiences and the things that people say about him. And, you know, he brings some of that stuff on himself with some of the things that he says and tweets, and, you know, we cringe at that. But I marvel at this guy. I marvel at his energy. He's 78 years old. To be able to do what he does, to be able to go out in public, as Chris Cuomo said, hey, if people are shooting at you, now this is the second time somebody's tried to take your life, and you're still going out there and you're still standing up. As he said the first time when he was almost killed, you know, shot in the ear, very close to being shot in the temple. And he said, fight, fight, fight. And, you know, his rhetoric has been the same. I'm never going to stop fighting for you. They're coming after me because I'm standing in the way of you. And, you know, it's hard to deny that. And so I have great admiration for Donald Trump. I don't agree with everything that he says or does. Not in, you know, by any stretch. But I can admire the guy for being so tenacious. And, you know, if you remember the Timex watch commercials, the tagline was Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And that is Donald Trump. He just keeps going and going and going. He's the Energizer Bunny, and nothing seems to stop him. And no matter what they throw at him, he just keeps moving forward. As the old Rocky Balboa quote, you know, ain't nothing going to hit as hard as life. Not me, not you, not anybody. And so life ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, about how much you can take and keep moving forward. Well, that is Donald Trump. And as I was mentioning to my FBI friend, and he brought this up to me, he said, you know, I mean, can you just imagine Trump giving his heart and life to Christ? The boldness he has now as a guy that isn't walking with the Lord, if he were to start walking with the Lord, walking in humility before the Lord, the boldness that he possesses is amazing. And so we can pray for that, and we need to pray. The prophet Samuel said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. That's what he told the people. And so we need to pray for President Trump. I heard Megyn Kelly, and she was saying that she is very concerned that Trump is going to be killed. And, you know, most of us, if we had people shooting at us, we'd be very, you know, hesitant to leave our house. We'd be very leery about who's around us. You know, when you have a bunch of Secret Service agents that you may not know who they are, they're just assigned to you, you start to wonder, who's for me and who's against me? Who's part of the deep state? It's very difficult to think what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania was just a lapse in judgment. It was, you know, we just dropped the ball there. Seems to be very coordinated. And so that is a deeper problem when you have the deep state working to eliminate you and to kill you. And as Cuomo said, hey, you know, Trump has children. He has grandchildren. And the public Trump that we see that can be very combative, as a New Yorker, is different. Melania, his wife, has said, you know, Donald is very different when he's just my husband and a father to my son, Baron, and to his own children and his grandkids. Very, very different. And I think many of us, if we just met Donald Trump, didn't know who he was, we would think, hey, he's a pretty nice guy. He's very generous and giving and fun to be around and good personality and good sense of humor. Well, he appeared on Greg Gutfeld yesterday. I wanted to play a little bit of this interview because he talks about what happened on the golf course just the other day.
President 45 and 47, the man who
So
Mr. P, how's your golf game?
Well, haven't been thinking about it too much lately. I always said golf is a very dangerous game.
It really is, especially if they're playing with you.
Yeah, it's true. That's
what that was a mean
sad.
Joke.
Pretty sad.
If they had told you that the shooter was there, would you have tried to take him out with your 3-wood?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. If I knew. Actually, the Secret Service did a great job. They saw the barrel of a gun, big gun.
Yeah.
And it came out through bushes. And how many people would see that? He really was very exceptional to have done it. And we've been going through a lot of it. We're getting very good at it, but I don't want to say that too loudly because we don't want to bring any jinxes along, Tyrus. Right? But it's
at least he could have yelled 4.
This is not a good thing to have practice at.
No.
Like, you're getting really good at stopping assassinations of Donald Trump. It's great. But I want to ask you, so Kamala Harris and the president, Joe Biden, if he's still president, we don't know. They called you after you were getting you got shot at and to wish you well, yeah. to say all these nice things.
They do.
But they're the same people that moments before say you're a threat to democracy, an existential threat, worse than Hitler. Does that mean that everything they say is full of
Well, you know, both of the shooters, one is dead and the other one is in prison. And it was really great work, again, by Secret Service. And a woman who saw somebody running and running for the car because he was caught and the Secret Service agent started shooting at him, didn't do any talking, said just, that's a barrel of a gun, started shooting, which was amazing. Then he saw it and then he started shooting. And so this man is running to the car and a woman, it's always a woman, right?
We just found out, yeah.
No, but think about that. How smart. Who would do this? Mm-hmm. She sees somebody running and she didn't like the way he looked. He looked very suspicious and followed him and took the car, parked it right behind his and started taking pictures of the license plate. Who would do that?
A Karen.
And then sent the picture to the sheriff, who's a great sheriff of Palm Beach County, and sent the pictures to the sheriff's office. And they got him in a high speed chase down the highway.
Yeah.
But who would do that? I mean, I said, out of 1,000 incidents, would that ever happen? And they said, very rarely a thing like that. So she's very much of a heroine, right? Heroine.
Yeah. You know what?
All right. That was Donald Trump talking last night on Greg Gutfeld about the situation where he was being, I guess the guy never got a shot off. I think the other guys, the Secret Service agents saw him and they fired at him. But another attempt on his life. And so we need to pray for him. Regardless of how we feel about him, I'm convicted often about praying for our leaders. And, you know, when you disagree with a leader, that doesn't mean you can't pray for him. And so the Bible is clear. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So we pray for our president, we pray for our vice president, we pray for senators, we pray for congressmen, we pray for judges, and we need to make that a part of our regular prayer time, that we lift them up. And hey, you can pray that God would open their eyes to truth, God would show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Jesus, and that the Lord would, you know, it says in the book of Proverbs, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. And so we can pray that God would guide those decisions. And even though you may have an out-and-out liberal that's going to make decisions that are terrible, we can pray that God would intervene in that situation. And as we pray, God listens and God responds. And I love the passage in Luke 18 as Jesus was giving the parable on prayer. And it's the woman who comes before the unrighteous judge. Give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What a question. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And we were talking about praying for our leaders, especially praying for Donald Trump. You may disagree with him on this issue, that issue, the other issue, but I truly believe that he is he's in it for the people. He's lost a lot of money running for president. His last term as president, I think they said he lost like a third of his wealth. Most of these guys go into politics. It's pretty amazing when you think, like Joe Biden, been in politics his whole life. And you can look and see how much money you make as a senator, as a vice president, as a president. I mean, it's not chump change, but you're not going to become a multi-millionaire by doing that. Of course, the reality is these people, the Clintons, the Obamas, they leave office and they're multi-millionaires. And Trump leaves office, never took a penny for being the president, and he lost money. That says something to me that he's not in this for the money. And he really is in this to help people and to do things that and make policies that will help the masses. That is the key. It's not if I vote for this person, is he going to help me personally, individually? The question is this going to be good for the country? That's why I said last week, you know, when it comes to voting, and this is, we're not going to have this, but I think that if you don't pay taxes, if you don't have any skin in the game, you shouldn't be allowed to vote, because those who are voting, we're voting to put somebody in office who's going to be giving out the money that we put into the pot. And so if you don't put any money into the pot and you're just voting for this person that says, hey, you put me in and I'll make sure money from the pot goes to you, well, that is voting for somebody that's going to help you personally, not that's going to do things that are better for the masses. And when it comes to giving out, doling out money, we are to give and support and financially support and help those who cannot work, not those who will not work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Don't help a person, an able-bodied person, who is choosing not to work. You help a person who cannot work, not a person who will not work. And there's a big, big difference. You know, in our church, we have people that ask us for things. Often we have, we give a lot of things away benevolence-wise and support a mission in our community to the tune of $35,000-$40,000, and they help people with bills and things like that. We help people with bills and things like that, and we really like to help people who are working and who are putting forth the effort, but a person, because they're willing to work, but they just can't make ends meet for whatever reason. And, you know, we want to sit down with that person and say, okay, you know, if your expenses are your income is X and your expenses are 2X, we got to figure out something to reduce your expenses. Otherwise, you're going to be back here, you know, every month saying, I need money, I need money, I need money. But the people that are willing to work, they're working two jobs or whatever, we want to help them. Those who are not working at all, no. And we're not to give to that person, because hunger is a great motivator. And we need to be careful when we give out money to people definitely help people in need, but when it's self-inflicted and that person is very able-bodied, you know, they can stand at the street corner. I remember one guy in Houston had a sign, you know, homeless, please help, or whatever, all these signs, and this guy had a sign that said, who am I kidding? I just need money for beer. And people kind of laughed at that, and, you know, at least you appreciated his honesty, but it's like, I'm not going to give you money for that. You know, I'll buy you food if you're starving, but I'm not going to give you money for you to, you know, buy alcohol. And that's, sadly, that's often what happens. Well, no doubt you saw in the news where, the terrorist group Hezbollah and those in Lebanon had, their pagers blow up in their pockets, and, pretty ingenious. You know, evidently it's from the Israeli Defense Group and IDF, and it was something out of Mission Impossible or something out of James Bond. How do you do that? And all of a sudden, at the same time, these pagers are blowing up. I heard walkie-talkies were blowing up. That sends a message for sure. And, you know, you can say, well, that's terrible. That's horrible. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was very upset about it. And how, you know, they're doing this. This is terrible. I saw where Mark Thissen said in response to AOC's comment, Israel's pager attack in Lebanon detonated thousands of handheld devices across a slew of public spaces, seriously injuring and killing innocent civilians. So his response was this. So you criticize Israel when they bomb terrorists in Gaza hiding behind civilians. And you criticize Israel when they eliminate terrorists in the most exquisite, discreet, and terror operation in anti-terror operation in history, which eliminated only terrorists using Hezbollah pagers. Tell us how exactly you would like Israel to kill terrorists. The answer is you don't. I thought that was pretty insightful. And so no matter what they do, it's never good enough for her. Well, Israel's in a war, and they're in a war against evil. And what do you do when you fight evil? Well, you eradicate it, as the Lord says over and over in the Old Testament, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. And you can't negotiate with evil. Just like, you know, if you get cancer in your body, you don't negotiate with the cancer. You don't say, well, if you promise not to leave my prostate and go in other parts of the body, you can stay there. No, because the cancer is going to proliferate in your body. You have to get it out. You have to kill it. And the evil that Israel is facing with Hamas, the only way you deal with that, I mean, let's go to the table and you know, compromise. Well, Hamas is not going to compromise. Their only compromise is you guys die. Israel, if you die, if you cease to exist, then that's good for us. Well, you can't compromise with them, and they are evil, just like you can't compromise with the devil. You have to face off with evil, and you have to kill it. As 1 Samuel chapter 15, when the Lord told Saul, kill all the Amalekites, you know, I've had enough of them, so wipe them out, kill them. And it's God's prerogative to do that. God is God. He is good. He sees everything. He knows things you and I don't know. So we may read that and say, well, God shouldn't do that. Well, God is holy, holy, holy. And if he decides to do that, it's because there is no hope for the Amalekites. Well, if you know the story, Saul didn't kill Agag, the king. And when Samuel came to Saul and Agag, the king, was still alive, he hacked him to pieces in the presence of the Lord. And Agag thought that surely the dread of war is over, and now I'm before the prophet. But the prophet was going to do what God called him to do. And so that brings me to a question that was asked just on Tuesday about the plot to kill Adolf Hitler. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pacifist, he was involved in that, the plot to kill Hitler. It happened, I think the movie with Tom Cruise, Valkyrie, is the depiction of that. But, you know, they came very, very close to killing Hitler with a bomb and blowing him up when he was at a meeting. And the question is that just, is that right to participate in that? I was talking to my friend Kirby Anderson, who has the radio program Point of View, and he said, well, you know, it has to do with just war. And he said, if you're involved in a just war, then the participants and the combatants are fair game, so to speak. And Hitler was killing people by the millions. And so would it have been just to take him out? And the answer would be yes. Now, that's way, way different than saying, okay, you have an abortion doctor, and an abortion doctor is murdering these unborn babies. So is it your God-given duty to take him out and say, well, this is just for me to do that? No, it's not, because we're not in at war with that guy, and so you can't do that. Now, we as people have done for many, many years, you stand in front of the abortion clinics or stand across the street and you encourage and urge these confused women and distraught women to don't do this, don't kill your child. And but we do not come against an abortion doctor with violence. That would be absolutely wrong, because that is not a just war. So a good way to look at that, you know. And here's the thing, getting back to Donald Trump, you know, people trying to say, well, Donald Trump is Hitler, you know, it's just amazing how they throw these. He's a racist, he's a homophobe, he's a xenophobe, he's a terrible, I mean, they just throw all this stuff at him and they call him Hitler. Well, you plant that in people's heads that Donald Trump is Hitler, and people say, oh, okay, well, if he's Hitler, then it's okay for me to take him out. I'm doing a service to the world. Well, Donald Trump is not Adolf Hitler. The idea that if you let him in office, he's going to do all these terrible things. Trump was in office. He didn't do any of those terrible things. What would be the thinking behind, gosh, if this guy gets in charge, it's going to be Katie bar the door. It's going to be terrible. He's just going to destroy all his political enemies. He's going to be this tyrant, this dictator, all that. Well, the biggest test in my mind is, what did he do when he was in 2017, when he got sworn in? How did that work? Well, he didn't do any of those things. As Bill O'Reilly said, he was a competent leader. He helped the country. Now, COVID, you know, that unraveled everything in terms of the financial stability of the nation, of the world. And that was, you know, produced in a lab in Wuhan, China. Didn't come from some bat. It came from scientists that manufactured this coronavirus and perpetrated that on the world. I mean, it's very sick and sadistic that people would do that. Now, you may have heard with the Veritas project, they got some Pfizer higher up that said, you know, they had been talking about what kind of sickness they could put upon the American people and put upon the world so that they could sell a drug to help that sickness. That's just awful beyond description, that somebody would be thinking like that and talking like that, because that is somebody that's just in love with money, doesn't care about you, doesn't care about me. Hey, if I can make you sick and then sell you a drug that helps that sickness, good for you, good for me. Well, it's good for you that you can sell the drug. It's not good for me that I got sick, and it's really not good for me that you were the one that did that. That I was fine before you came along and poisoned me. Just sickening. You know, I taught not too long ago on Proverbs chapter 6, the seven things God hates. Proverbs 6, verses 16 and following. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a proud look. Number one on the hate list, God hates pride. Number two, a lying tongue. God hates lying. You're never more like the devil than when you tell a lie, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. You know, I think about those who participate in abortion. There's no one more innocent and more helpless than a baby in the womb. And hands that shed innocent blood, God hates that. And God will bring judgment on the nation that does that. A heart that devises wicked plans. Where does sin begin? Sin begins in the mind, in the heart, as you think through things. As I said yesterday, sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And it all begins when you're thinking about that. Sin begins in the mind and in the heart, and God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness. Number six, who utters lies. That goes along with number two. A false witness who utters lies. Somebody in court that would lie. You know, I think about how Jezebel had the two worthless men from Jezreel lie about Naboth. So Naboth and his kids could be killed so that Ahab could take his vineyard. Those worthless fellows were false witnesses who uttered lies, and they were fueled by Jezebel the queen, who was also a false witness who uttered lies, who had a heart that devised wicked plans, who had a lying tongue, who had hands that shed innocent blood. She had all the things that God hates. So a false witness who utters lies. We need to be careful with what comes out of our mouth, and we need to speak the truth in love. And lastly, the Lord hates one who spreads strife among brothers. In church, make sure that you're not one who's a gossiper, who's a pot stirrer, who is spreading strife among brothers. We need to create unity among brothers. Behold, how good and pleasant it is, Psalm 133, for brothers to dwell together in unity. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. It's always great when people call in and call in with questions and comments. So I encourage you to call in, and we can talk. So that's 888-589-8840. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, lots going on in the news. We were talking about uh, the the responsibility of Christians to pray. And listen, let's face it, a lot of us fall short in prayer, and we need to be intentional, and we need to say, okay, I have to, this is part of my day, is I call upon the Lord, not only for my own needs, but I'm interceding on behalf of things that affect lots of people. You know, leadership matters. And, you know, no organization will rise above its leadership. And as the leadership guru John Maxwell said, everything rises and falls on leadership. If you have bad leadership, things aren't going to go well. And if you have good leadership, things will go well. Obviously, God is sovereign. If God doesn't want something to go, it's not going to go. And if God chooses to make something go, it goes. But in general, just like in the Proverbs, if you have good leadership, it's going to do well. If you have poor leadership, it's going to do poorly. And I think with the candidates for president, you have one person who is exhibiting right now very poor leadership. And this idea, hey, we're not going back, we're moving forward. It's like, you have the ability right now to make a difference. So don't tell me how good it's going to be. Show me right now. You have months to still be in office. Even if you get booted out, you still have the, as Captain Kirk used to say, you have the con. And so you're in control right now. So make a difference right now, and don't just talk a big game. Talk is cheap. As my sales manager when I worked for an Alco Chemical used to say, hey, numbers talk, and a bunch of bullcorn, I messed that up. Numbers walk, bullcorn talks. And if you just talk a big game, how great you are at sales, well, show me. You can talk all day long, but show me. Show me some sales numbers. Show me that you're able to do this. And so numbers walk and bullcorn talks. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have David on the line from North Carolina. He dropped off. David, please call back. We have Carl on the line from Texas. Carl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I just got a couple of comments about if Trump's election, if he would quit calling names like a child on a schoolyard and get to the what he's going to do, you know, what he's going to come back and do. And then the other one is, when Kamala Harris gets on abortion, if he would just ask her, aren't you glad that your mother and father didn't believe in abortion? Mm. That's my two comments.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, everyone that's alive and kicking is glad that they didn't get aborted. And so, Trump, you know, he's, I've had this conversation with Tim Wildman and Jenna Ellis. You know, it's amazing how some people can be very smart and very successful and very unwise at the same time. It's like, why do you say these things? Just let that stuff go. And, you know, going, I hate Taylor Swift. What's the point of doing that? You're exactly right, Carl. It's just, it's like kids on the playground. And you just need to let that go. I don't understand why he doesn't do that. I talked to a friend of mine that was working with lots of ministries in Rick Warren. He was working with Rick Warren. And I said, you know, when Rick Warren appeared at the Southern Baptist Convention and he had to tell you, you know, how many guys he had trained and how many people went to his church. And you're like, why do you do that? You're hurting your cause when you talk about yourself like that in these glowing terms. Just stay with the issues. You know, true humility, because what does the Lord hate? Six things which the Lord hates. Number one on the hate list is haughty eyes, a proud look. God hates pride. The Lord says, but to this one will I look, to him who is humble and contrite of heart and who trembles at my word. And the truly humble person is not a person who thinks more highly of himself than he ought to think or more lowly of himself than he ought to think. True humility is not thinking about yourself. It's thinking about God and thinking about others. It's loving God and loving people. people and not talking about yourself. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Just live your life to the glory of God and to the betterment of human beings, and speaking the truth in love, and let other people will brag on you. You don't have to do that. The humble are the ones that God gives grace to. So appreciate that call, Carl. We have Joe on the line from Louisiana. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good. You talked about stirring up strife or in the church amongst brothers and everything. And
yes.
In our church, we have an issue with these younger women, and some of them are mothers and mature women. They're wearing dresses so short that if they was to bend over, you could, whatever.
Right.
But anyhow, my point is, now we have a guy who's in, they're in a position with the younger children in our church, and his wife come in with a short set on the other Sunday morning, and me and my wife and several other people in church was like, my goodness alive, have they forgotten where they're at? And these fathers are letting these girls go out of the house dressed like that.
Yeah.
Told my pastor I was going to say something to him, and he kind of laughed, said, go ahead. Said, tell him. But would that be, I mean, I don't want to stir up strife. God knows I'm no saint. But, I mean, they're forgetting where they're at. Grown men coming in with short pants and flip-flops. This is the house of God. Show it some respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question, Joe. That's a tough one for sure, because if let's say you talk to that guy, he could get very, very mad at you for bringing that up, like, mind your own business, that's none of your business, that kind of thing. I think you just have to be careful that you know that your heart is in the right place. You know that you're not being fueled by anger. You're being fueled by the Spirit of God. And so I think that's something for the pastor to let it be known to the church body, just what you said. Hey, this, you know, we're not going to the movies when we come to church. We're going to worship God. And that doesn't mean you have to wear a tuxedo, but it does mean that you shouldn't dress like you're ready to clean out the garage. You know, we need to clean up and we need to wear the best that we have, perhaps. You know, I mean, people wear blue jeans to our church, but it's like, hey, that might be the best you have. Just make sure things are clean and, you know, and look the best that you can look, and that kind of thing. So I think it comes upon the pastors to set the culture, and they need to look, you know, presentable, and encourage the church to look presentable. And if somebody is wearing things that are inappropriate, it might be better for a woman to talk to them and pull them over to the side and just say, hey, you know, this is this would be better if you wore something a little more appropriate for where you're, you know, for church and that kind of thing. But I would just encourage you, Joe, to really pray through that and mention, if you talk to the pastor, maybe talk to him again about that, and then just see how the Lord leads you. But a lot of that needs to come, I think, come from the pastor and set the tone for the culture of the church that, hey, we're here to worship. We didn't come to a rock concert. We came to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We came to offer our worship and praise to God, and we need to do so appropriately and not inappropriately. So good question. I appreciate you calling in with that. We have David on the line from Texas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
So I have an acquaintance I met, and he and I talk a lot about the Bible, and a couple of things have come up. The major one that he and I differ on, he doesn't believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit. And I took and did a little research on this, and Jesus speaks about the helper. That's a masculine noun. And I showed him that in a couple other places, and he still refuses to, he thinks it's a force.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in my heart, I don't want to be beat him up or something, you know, spiritually, so to speak. But I just can't believe a person is converted who doesn't believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that one of the very, very core doctrines?
Well, a core doctrine, you have to understand who God is, and God is, he exists in three persons, just like you can't get saved if you don't understand that Jesus is God. So the Mormons have Jesus as a glorified man. Well, Jesus is not a glorified man, so their faith and trust is in another Jesus, as Paul said, whom we have not preached. I think the passage that I would use with him, David, is Acts chapter 5, when Peter said to Ananias, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you've conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." So he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse, he said, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. And there's no way to get around that. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that God is a plural noun. And then it immediately says, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So we run into the Holy Spirit in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. By name, the Spirit of God. And so, yeah, people don't understand the Holy Spirit. I did a sermon series on the Holy Spirit a few years ago. I'm trying to remember the name of it, the Divine Mystery or something like that. And it had to do with understanding who the Holy Spirit is. And you can go online if you will do a Google search on From His Heart Ministries and the Holy Spirit. There will be sermons that will come up on that Google search, and that series will come up if you'd like to get a copy of that. I think that could help you. And if the guy would listen to it, maybe that would be something that the Lord can use to trigger, you know, the truth in his mind and heart. But yeah, I'm with you on that. If you think the Holy Spirit is an it, is a force like Star Wars, my assistant Jay just said it was the unknown God. So understanding that the Holy Spirit is the unknown God. So hopefully that will be helpful, David, and hopefully he would listen to that. So we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, Pastor Jeff, thank you so much. You're such an encouragement to hear. Thanks, I just brother. Wanted to say, for those people who do not like, I mean, they will blow out that they hate Trump, and it's always been amazing to me. I look at him like a Samson in the scripture, where God was using Samson. And I look at the book of Hebrews at the 11th chapter, and we see that Samson, along with Rahab, some incredible people who did not have a strong past.
Right.
And yet God was using them. And I am more terrified of the people who are so willing to say how much they hate him and not recognizing that each one of us, when Jesus says, the way you judge is the way that you are going to be judged. And that is some of the most terrifying things. And I agree with you also. We are to be praying for our enemies. And I know I'm praying for Obama, for the Bidens, for Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. I want to live forever with these people.
Amen.
But they do not know who Jesus Christ is. And my job is to get on my knees and to pray for this miraculous thing that is called America. Mm-hmm. That God was the one who instituted this. And we are all fallen except for those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our role as Americans.
Yeah, good word, Marty. Yeah, we definitely need to be praying. God answers prayer. And I remember Adrian Rogers saying something one time in a sermon. He said, you know, the reality of that simple statement just hit me. God answers prayer. The great eternal God of the universe, little old me, I can call out to God I can bring my needs before the Lord. I can intercede. And God hears me. And God answers prayer. Now, he doesn't answer it in my timing. He answers it in his timing. But he listens to his children. And if we pray according to his will, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, we know he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask that's according to his will, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So what a promise. Just to reiterate, the sermon series on the Holy Spirit was called The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, go out today. We're out of time, but go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. Pastor Jeff, signing off. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.